The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, it was actually just over a year ago that my father passed away, and I've been thinking a lot about him this past week and realized I haven't really talked too much about that. I think in part because his death was a lot like his life, in that there were so many moments that were truly sacred and holy. And sometimes it's hard to put words to experiences that are so profoundly sacred and holy. During my dad's final 2 years of life, he suffered from progressive vascular dementia. And basically what that is it was the fact that his heart, he had congestive heart failure, and his heart was not pumping efficiently or effectively enough to get the oxygen that his brain needed. And so he became increasingly forgetful, confused. Sometimes he would be compulsive, kind of doing the same thing over and over again. And he would sometimes become agitated, which was not like him at all. During his final week, the agitation was especially difficult, in part because we knew that he didn't have too long to live, but also because we just wanted to comfort him. And he would see things that we didn't see. His words would often fail him, so he couldn't even really communicate what he was feeling or what he needed. And I'm not even certain that he always knew what exactly what was going on. He just knew how he was feeling. Several days before he died, he wasn't sleeping very much, and neither was my mom. My dad kept trying to get up out of bed, and his legs had pretty much failed him. He didn't have the muscle strength to even sit up, let alone stand up or walk. So we had to try to keep him in bed and keep him safe. And he naturally became frustrated and upset. And after several nights in a row of this, we were all pretty exhausted. And after a particularly long and difficult afternoon of rather severe agitation, I finally just said to my dad, "Dad, what's wrong? What do you need? What's wrong?" And I still remember him looking at me with kind of wide eyes, and he was trying to say something, and it took a while, but finally he got out the word, "scared." And naturally my heart broke because I could see it, you know. And I said, "Dad, are you feeling afraid?" And he just so ever so slightly nodded his head, "Yes." And his hospital bed had not yet arrived, so he was sleeping in a twin bed, and I had been holding his hand, and I said, "Dad, would it be okay if I just climbed in with you and hugged you?" And so he scooted over just a little bit, which I took as a yes, as if I even needed him to answer that question. I think I was going to anyway. But I climbed in bed behind him and wrapped my arms around him, and I could feel his heart beating, and I could feel him breathing, and I could just feel his body start to relax. And I tried not to sob as I felt him start to fall asleep. And I thought for a moment, well, maybe that's not appropriate, but then I thought, how many times as a child did my father scoop me up in his arms when I felt afraid, or I was sad, or I just needed that reassurance of his love for me? Even as an adult, I loved my dad's hugs because they had a way of centering me and grounding me in who I was. I confess that sometimes this embarrassed me, but my dad was my biggest fan. He supported me and he encouraged me. I remember sitting at the dinner table as if I was in fifth grade and talking about what did I want to be when I grew up. And my dad said, "Beth, you could be anything you want to be." And he believed in me, and he believed that, and I believed in me, you know, because of him. And then there were just those days, even into my adulthood, that I just needed to talk to my dad. And we didn't always talk long, and it wasn't even that he had the best advice. He was actually a very quiet man, and so he didn't even say that much. His advice usually was, after he'd listened to me, "Follow your heart, Bethy." And I'm wearing earrings that actually say that, "Follow your heart," because that was his best advice. But even more importantly than giving me advice or answers, he would listen. He would listen, and he would be constant, and he would be consistent, and he would be clear in his love for me. That didn't always solve whatever was going on in my life, but it was always more than enough, because I knew I was his daughter, and I knew that he loved me without question. And that was enough. That truly was enough. So that afternoon, that difficult afternoon, for him to receive my embrace was a gift. It was a gift from me, because I was literally able to hold my dad in love. I didn't know what the days to come would bring. Actually, I probably did know, and I didn't want to face what the days to come were going to bring. But in that moment of holding my dad as he slept, I was comforted by his presence, and he was also comforted by mine. As I thought about Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, anointing his tired, dry feet with this beautiful perfume, I wondered if maybe that experience was a little bit like mine with my dad. She knew Jesus was feeling agitated. None of them really knew what the days, including Jesus himself, exactly, what were the days to come going to bring? As he tried to relax and rest In the home of his dear friends, there was this air of uncertainty. He'd been talking about death and dying. And Mary was uncertain, but she felt called to do something, to somehow bring him some comfort in the midst of all this, to thank him and to remind him that he was dearly loved, that she deeply appreciated him because Jesus gave her life. I mean, not only raising her brother Lazarus from the dead, but gave her whole family life by their very friendship, the very love that they shared. I don't know why the gospel writer of John has to throw in that line where Jesus says, you'll always have the poor with you, but you won't always have me. I think I don't like that because too often we use those words of Jesus to kind of accept as status quo the fact that there are people who are poor and vulnerable and in need. And I don't think that that's what Jesus meant at all. In the Greek, it's sometimes hard to, it's actually easier to misunderstand what the author intended than we realize. Because in the way Greek language is structured, you can't always tell which nouns go with which verbs and which adjectives go with which nouns and adverbs go with which verbs. And it's kind of jumbled. And there were no commas, there were no punctuations, so we do our best to look at the context and try to understand what was being said. And this week I came across some scholars who suggest that maybe Jesus meant something kind of different. And something more like, hold the poor and the vulnerable close by. You won't always be able to hold me, but you can always hold those who are vulnerable. I like that. I like that because the truth is, in holding those who are vulnerable, we are indeed holding Christ himself. In holding those who are vulnerable, we are also being held in our own vulnerability by Christ. Through this holding and being held in love, we remember who we are. We remember who we all are, whose we are, that we are indeed beloved children of God. And it's true, just like this story, you know, you hear about Judas. People aren't always going to understand this love. Some will flat out reject it or say that it's extravagant or wasteful or that we don't deserve it or that it's inappropriate. But that doesn't matter. Christ calls us to love anyway. We are children of a loving and gracious and generous God who are called to hold those who are most vulnerable and to allow ourselves to be held in our own vulnerability. And somewhere in the midst of that sacred space of holding and being held is that amazing and extravagant love of God. This love gives us strength when we face those uncertain times in the days and weeks and months and years to come. It's as if we are held and loved into the future. I still feel held by my dad's love. And that carried me through those next days, through his death, and then through my life in the days after. I believe Jesus took that sweet fragrance of Mary's love and appreciation, with him as he entered into Jerusalem that final time. As he washed his disciples' feet, even the feet of Judas who betrayed him and Peter who denied him. As Jesus was arrested, as he was crucified, as he took his last breath, that love was still holding him. God's love held him through all of that, through death, into the promise of resurrection and new life. Because love, especially the love of God, has a way of giving life even in the midst of death. So today we are reminded that we are indeed loved children of God. That each and every day we are held with a love that will never let us go. That will never, ever, 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 ever let us go. No matter what, that love is constant, consistent, and clear. So today, my prayer for you is that you will indeed remember who you are, that you are a loved child of God, and that you will reach out with that extravagant and generous love to hold those who are vulnerable, as you are also held in your own vulnerability. Amen.